Well, this is my double day, which I'll explain in this podcast, podcast 984, the Bob Davis podcast. We're going to eat some dinner, and we're cooking a steak and some eggs, a little bit of broccoli right now. And when that's done, I'm going to head out. Well, I'm going to watch Cops on my phone, which is great. And after I eat, I'm going to head out for a walk and talk. The Bob Davis podcast, podcast 984, Virginia Walk and Talk. Well, yeah, I'm still, people say, are you still in Virginia? Yes, I am still here in Virginia at my mom's house. We're going through everything. And there's a lot of reminders of how big companies really don't do customer service right. And I don't want to belabor that, but I will tell you that Kim Nybo Insurance, who handles my auto insurance, is fantastic at customer service. You hear lots of advertising for insurance companies. You see a lot of advertising for insurance companies on television. Kim Nybo at State Farm does a great job with customer service. One of the things she's been talking about lately is guys doing things like skipping snowmobiles on the ice or driving their trucks onto ice this late in the year with the intensity of the sun. Sometimes the trucks go in, and she offers insurance riders to cover you for those kinds of crazy things. She often calls it, well, I'm being kind, but she calls it the crazy things that men often do, and this is why you have insurance. Call the Kim Nybo Agency. That team is on it. They work as hard as I do and as hard as you do, and they're always there for you once you get signed up in Columbia Heights and Minneapolis for years. Cars, boats, motorcycles, trailers, auto, home, property, business, and especially life insurance. Don't forget Kim Nybo Insurance, 763-571-6111, 763-571-6111, or click on the Kim Nybo banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcast.com. Great to have Kim Nybo as a sponsor of the Bob Davis Podcasts. I got to mention the guys at 36th and Lynn, the independently owned and operated community-focused refueling station at 36th and Lindale Avenue in the Lynn Lake neighborhood in Minneapolis. Not only are they, the guys at 36th and Lynn, refueling out to help the community, they feature a great selection of locally sourced products in the store, from great coffee to burritos and other awesome food to go. You might have seen the owner, Lonnie, featured in the Tribune just recently. It's a really great place. Remember, 36th and Lynn, next time you swing through Minneapolis and need gas or a cup of coffee or something locally sourced from the store. And remember, they're independent, which means they can get a better deal on fuel and pass the savings on to you. Check them out online at 36lynn.com. You can check out their Instagram feed, which is great, at 36lynn. Facebook, all that stuff has links if you go to the banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcast.com that says 36lynn.
Location with the men and women of law enforcement. All suspects are innocent until proven guilty in a court of law.
My job is very exciting. Going out dealing with the scum, as the mayor would call it. It's something different every time. I don't know what's going to happen.
Here we go. So it has been a long time since I did a walk and talk podcast, and it's weird because the last time I did that, I was back in Minnesota, and now I'm doing it at my mom's house in Virginia. Here's the driveway, which is stone. So the rules of the walk and talk are no prep, no plan. Not really any editing. We just walk and we talk. I got myself a cup of coffee post-dinner, and it is almost a full moon. Beautiful, beautiful night out here. And I've gotten to know this neighborhood pretty well, so I don't really have to think about where I'm going anymore. Don't have the bare feet because it's not quite warm enough for that, but today in Virginia, just post ice storm the last few days, it was 65 yesterday, something like 70 today, and then back in the mid-50s. So it feels like spring to me, even though it's still late February. But it's nice because it's not cold, really. I've got a light jacket on, and And this is my double day. So Wednesdays, I'm recording this on a Wednesday. I do my networking meeting at 7 a.m. Central, which is good because I can get up a little bit later, but I just don't sleep hardly at all before that meeting. And then I end up sleeping all day because I just can't. That's the last thing I pretty much do after staying up all night. And it's always an interesting thing because I say, well, I'm going to nap, you know, and then I end up sleeping till like 3:30, 4 o'clock. In fact, I actually continue to sleep until dark. So that is what I am doing. And then I get up and it's like a double day. So now Wednesday feels like Thursday, and then Thursday feels like Friday. So I'm all messed up. And, you know, what's interesting is I've talked about this. When I'm traveling, when I'm on the road, I don't do that. You know, I'm up really almost at the crack of dawn and asleep by 9:30, 10 o'clock usually. Isn't that interesting? And I think the main reason is when I'm not traveling, and this is the nomad portion of the podcast and where we talk kind of about nomad issues, I'm completely and totally fully engaged on a conscious level. And when I'm not traveling, I just get really bored. I get, and all I can do is just sort of wait. That's kind of what's going on here as we slowly but surely move through and work through the estate and get the house ready to sell. All I can do really is wait. And the result is that I'm just really bored. But I have had some fun lately. First thing, recording the ice storm. Second thing, putting up the summer sounds was kind of a neat experience because it reminded me how great sound is. So I'm trying not to talk a lot as I walk and record, so you can kind of just hear the sounds here, like the train in the distance. Different sounds from walk and talks that I did back in Minnesota in my neighborhood, which is right in the flight path. And what's interesting about that train is that's an Amtrak. So that train, if you're at that intersection, that train is moving at 60, 70 miles an hour. And it just moves right through town really fast. So this is Chester, Virginia, which is just east of Petersburg, just west of Richmond in Chesterfield County, Virginia, which goes back a long way, like most things around here. It goes back more than 200 years, which is amazing when you stop to think about it. I'm from the Midwest. Most of the stuff, the oldest thing where I grew up in Chicago was Fort Dearborn, which isn't even there anymore. The Stone Container Building, which I don't even know if it's called the Stone Container Building anymore, but the Stone Container Building was on the grounds of the old Fort Dearborn, which was the beginning of Chicago, which was a log cabin in the woods near the lake. It was pretty much near the swamp that became the lakeshore. So that was the beginning of Chicago right there on a kind of a swampy river that flowed the other way back in those days. Minnesota, the oldest thing is, well, the state was incorporated in 1856. So the Minnesota Territory became the state of Minnesota, or the whatever territory. I think it was part of the Dakota Territory. I don't even know, nor do I care that much. But I mean, 1856 is new compared to this place goes back to parts of this particular area go back to the mid 1600s. So we're talking about 200 plus years on Minnesota's 1856. So we're not too far from the Bermuda Hundred, which was a settlement which I believe failed around the same time as the Plymouth settlement. People come into the New World to kind of make their way. And in fact, right up the street here is Bermuda Hundred Road, which is about the whole Bermuda Hundred thing. And this is a new, kind of a new housing development. These houses are 30, 40 years old now. And my mom lived in this neighborhood for about 30 years. Ran into some people from the neighborhood the other day. And they said that, well, you know, we were the first people here. Your mom was the second person here. So I don't know if I buy that because she wasn't the first owner of the house, but in any case, Chester, Virginia. People say, why don't you just stay there? You know, we own the house. Why don't you just stay there? And I'm like, no way. Absolutely not. I wouldn't give up my freedom to, you know, it's interesting, and I've been thinking about this a lot. Most people would say, well, you know, you were given a house, basically, a nice little house. And my sister said, why don't you just stay here? You could stay here for 2 years and then you could sell the house. There's no capital gains. And, you know, why not just stay here? Everybody wants me to stay. And I've talked about that a little bit with some friends, and it's like, well, good question. Why don't I just stay? It would be easy, I guess. You know, I guess it would be comfortable. But I think to myself, what would I talk about? I don't want to go back to talking about politics. It not only does it not interest me, it's horrible content because nobody wants to hear it anymore. And I don't blame them. And I've had, we were just talking about this morning in my networking group, how the spirit, the whole spirit of the, I have to turn around because it's a little windy down there. You know, the whole spirit of the podcast is different because it's based on this learning adventure of travel. So the idea of me hunkering down and staying in a house after all the work I did to get rid of everything and get out of my house and get on the road, it's not even enticing at all. It's just like, the sooner I can get out of here, the better off I'm going to be. And that's really what I spend my time thinking about. I will probably take a trip at some point here just to change up the content. And the plan is to go down probably to Florida. And I have a couple choices in terms of direction. So if I go west from here, and I didn't look at the map, so I don't have routes, but if I do it, and I probably will pretty soon, I will, you know, I'll give you the routes in it that I go and the routes that I go on. But I would go west to Bristol, go about halfway across Tennessee, maybe, and then cut straight down to the Panhandle and either go to Pensacola Beach or Panama City. You know, I have friends down there. So that's an option. And then after I hang out there for a couple of days, I would probably go straight across to Gainesville and then come up the coast. I want to go up Georgia because I want to check out those outer banks along Georgia's coast, as well as the South Carolina and North Carolina coast. And it's getting warm enough that it would be something I could do. So that's the plan currently. As far as the next trip is concerned, then I got to come back and finish this up, basically. That's sort of my working plan. And then once all that gets taken care of, hopefully middle March, early April, then we'll be back out on the road permanently. And then the plan is to go directly straight out west. It won't be a freeway run. It'll be back roads. Go right back out west. And I'm going to probably go camping in Flagstaff around Payson. Long story, but one of my best friends and I went camping up at this place along the rim around Flagstaff, around Payson, many, many years ago when we were drinking. And you could sit on the edge of these rocks and hang your legs over the edge and look down on a highway that seemed in our condition to be so way down there. And I suppose 10 years ago, he found this site, and the site number is 9, and we call it old number 9. So we're probably going to go up there for a weekend or two, and that'll be great. And then I'm going to go right back out to Quartzsite and pick up the trip where I sort of broke it off, and that is going out into the California desert and going over to San Diego, and then seeing my brother-in-law in I don't even know what town he's in. I have to remember that. I can't remember it right now. And then heading up the coast. And by then it should be summer, basically May, June. And the plan is to head up the coast all the way up to Seattle, see some friends in Seattle, and then turn right and head across. I think I'll probably take Route 2. I think it's 2. And come all the way across Washington. There's a little piece of Utah, Wyoming and Montana, I don't know, North Dakota, and then come back into Wisconsin area. And at that point, we'll start taking a look at what we need to do mechanically for Mobile Podcast Command. Well, anyway, I've talked a little bit about dealing with my mom's estate here in Virginia. It's part of the deal. And I'm reminded, you know, we don't have that much to deal with. There's not that much complicated to deal with. But I can't imagine having a small business and dealing with a succession issue, given all the paperwork and things that are involved with running a small business. So listen up if you're a small business person, because maybe you think that you are thinking one step ahead, but you might be one step behind. I'm talking about Nathan W. Nelson at Virtus Law, the strategic law partner. One of the things that Nathan was talking about recently is reviewing all of your paperwork to make sure it's put together properly. For example, your business foundation documents, how you structure your business, loan agreements, management service agreements, succession plans, and things of that nature are all really, really important. And there's tons of other stuff, debt issues, income tax planning, asset protection. You need a strategic planner for that. And that is Nathan W. Nelson at Virtus Law. I know him. He's great. He thinks strategically. And the fact is, most lawyers today really don't give you that kind of strategic advice. So if you're the owner of a growing business, or you have a little more on the ball, you might be frustrated with your current strategic advice from your current attorney. You want to look at long-term planning and not short-term transactions. And that is what Nathan W. Nelson at Virtus Law does. So here's the number, 612-888-1000, 612-888-1000. Don't wait until you have a problem to try to figure out and scramble around and find an attorney that can deal with it. Virtus Law serves small businesses and their owners. Visit them online. They have an excellent client interface where you can explain your needs and get a good idea of the legal services Virtus Law provides. Or you can click on the Virtus Law banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcast.com. Fees are structured reasonably based on what needs to be done. Give them a call, Nathan W. Nelson at Virtus Law. Now, very quickly, I want to mention inspireandflourish.org. This is the organization that helps the agencies that help rescue dogs and cats and other animals in need. And they're going to be doing a dog fashion show on March 11th, the virtual fashion show, Fashion for Furry Friends, March 11th at 7 p.m. Please join Inspire and Flourish for an evening to celebrate all of the furry friends. You click on inspireandflourish.org, the banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcast.com, and you'll find all the information at inspireandflourish.org. So when I'm not looking into getting a storage area or getting the garbage taken away, I am, or taking pieces of furniture out to my sister's farm, I am thinking about resuming this thing and thinking about this full-time commitment to the nomad lifestyle. Everybody's saying you got to see Nomad Land, and I say, well, I don't want to see it yet because I don't want to have my thinking colored by this movie. But everybody I know has said the movie is amazing. And just my little sliver of nomad life experience leads me to believe that they may have actually gotten it right. We'll see. I don't have years and years. Now, remember, I've been doing this with a tether, if you will, for many years. 7 years, something like 7 years, going on 7 years. I got Mobile Podcast Command in 2014. And I've been doing travel for whatever reason. My plan was I was going to go to the news. So when things happened, I was going to go. And I went to the pipeline protest. I went to the air shows. I went to Sturgis. I went and covered the Republicans in 2016 and the Democrats in 2020. And the reason I did that was because that's where the energy was, because in 2016, obviously, there's a huge field of candidates for the Iowa caucuses. And in 2016, and in 2020, there was a huge number of candidates on the Democrat side. And the only thing I wish is that Iowa was a little warmer that time of the year. So I was going to go to the story, wherever it was. And that was okay. But what you do is you would drive to this event. So I did a lot of freeway driving and some back road stuff. But then the back road thing kind of just evolved from doing that. And then finally, as you guys know from my many podcasts on the issue, I said, you know, the problem with this in terms of expense and time is you have to come home. This is the problem with having to have a home base. You pay for the home, you don't live in the home because you're out on the road all the time. And if you don't live with someone, there's no one there. So why do you have a home? So it's easier to not have a home. And once I cut that cord, it focuses everything that I'm doing on the digital business of the Bob Davis podcasts. So it's way better in terms of business. And it doesn't feel like a hardship. People are like, isn't it really hard? And, you know, I'm seeing all these articles about people that are saying, you know, well, we bought, I probably have already mentioned it, but I'm going to mention it again. I read an article in the Wall Street Journal a couple days ago. Some guy was a digital guy, and they sold their apartment in New York, and they sold it for well over $1 million, and they paid the mortgage off and went and bought a $450,000, I want to say it was one of those Fleetwood coaches, but it was along those lines. I mean, these RVs are so expensive, and they were, they've been doing the digital nomad thing, and they said we saved a lot of money, which I think is really interesting. You know, economies of scale. They say, well, we saved a lot of money doing this, but they were lamenting the fact that they spend most of their time in these RV campgrounds, which may as well be the suburban street that I'm walking down right now. It's just instead of houses, everybody has trucks. You know, they have various types of RVs, most of the time the big ones, because you can't get the big RVs into these campgrounds. So Smoky Mountain National Park, for example, very, very thin roadways getting in, and, you know, they're mountains, right? Even more difficult than Route 33 through West Virginia, where you're up and down and turning, and it's more like the Pacific Coast Highway through West Virginia. Smoky Mountains, the national park, is not built for 40-foot long RVs. In fact, the campsites, you're not allowed to have anything longer than about 22, 23, 24 feet. You can have a trailer, but they really don't recommend it. So almost everyone has backpack campers or small trailers, or they're driving Sprinter vans or something like my truck is probably one of the biggest things, or they're just tent campers. And a lot of national parks are that way. So same with state parks and some of these national forests that you can go in. And then, of course, if you want to get into Bureau of Land Management land, like at Quartzsite or where I was in Tucson, you know, those, and I haven't been to any BLM, places outside of the desert, but they're rocky. They're a little shaky, even for the ambulance. In terms of, you got to watch, you know, you got to watch what you're driving over because you're going to puncture your tires. If you don't have off-road tires, you got to watch what you're doing. So having a $450,000 RV really isn't very conducive to this lifestyle. It's, you're much better off with kind of a beat up school bus, you know, because you don't care. You're not that concerned with denting it. I love the paint job of my truck. I don't want to dent it. you know, I'm a little careful, a little bit more careful about it. But if I had a $450,000 RV, I wouldn't be taking it into the BLM land at Quartzsite, which is where all the action is. You know, that's where everybody gathers. So it's very interesting that that isn't really what we talk about when we talk about the nomad lifestyle, as I understand it. It's even the van life people that are that have spent $190,000. I'm not kidding, on some kind of jacked up Sprinter van. Don't have the same experience as the kids, you know, the hippie kids with the tattoos and on their faces and tons of piercings and two dogs and three friends driving the beat up school bus where they just ripped the seats out and threw some blankets down. They're having a riot. I think about that stuff a lot, and I think about the commitment to doing this, and it's not supposed to be necessarily comfortable. I'm comfortable. You know, I have tonight's dinner. As I mentioned, was cooked on a camp stove because I can't stand my mom's electric. She's got one of those electric glass stoves, and it's terrible. You can't even pan fry a steak because you can't control the heat. So I took my little Coleman one burner caterer stove, and I use that inside because it's easier to cook on. So I'm comfortable. It's not like I'm uncomfortable, but I don't mind the Spartan nature of this life where you don't eat as much, you know, you got to be willing to kind of take the good with the bad. And there's a lot of truck stops and, you know, Walmart parking lots in the mix, as well as sometimes some pretty amazing places to stay. And I just can't wait to get back out there. And then just to bring it around to talk about some things that I haven't talked about, I again am reminded at the power of sound and how much sound, how useful sound is for telling a story without even having to speak. One of the podcasts I just did recently, which I loved, was the Summer Sounds podcast, which really does tell a story the way it's constructed. There's tons of sound in there that was recorded at different times last summer, and I don't even listen to it. I just put it in the file, and then I listen to it when I'm getting ready to do that podcast. And you know, I constructed all that sound in a way to tell a story, and it's great. So that's one of the things that I want to do more of, but just recording more sound and kind of letting you get an audio experience of what it's like to, you know, be out here and be on the road. Although I have to say editorially, you know, an editorial note, I'm not on the road. I'm stuck in Chester, Virginia for the next foreseeable future, the next few weeks. But I am going to take a little trip, and we're going to go, like I said, down to Florida, swing over by Gainesville, come back up, hopefully, because I want to check out the Outer Banks, because I'm not going to get a chance to do that again, and prepare for summer travel, which will have different challenges, bugs, heat, that kind of stuff, and hopefully you'll be able to experience the sound and feeling of the desert in spring, sometime in the next 6 weeks when we finally hit the road. I will not be staying here in my mom's house permanently, and we're gonna get back out on the road, get some new tires, get some front end work done, maybe a few other creature comforts, and then Mobile Podcast Command is heading out again. First a short trip to Florida, and then and back here to Virginia, and then on out to pick up the trip from Quartzsite, Arizona, with a camping trip or two in between. Come back in here. It's time once again to watch a few more episodes of Cops on my phone. What would a Bob Davis podcast be without mentioning Cartridge World, the people that ask the question, why pay more to print? People hate their printers, and as the owner of Cartridge World said recently, Jason Waldron, maybe there's good reason for people to have hate in their heart for their printers. Why? Because the print cartridges are so expensive. Guess what? Cartridge World in Maple Grove can save you up to 30% compared to the big box stores on those cartridges, and their cartridges are guaranteed to perform as good as new. Free delivery on qualifying orders. Call them at 763-420-6632. 763-420-6632, serving the universe from Maple Grove, Minnesota, or click on the cartridge roll banner at the top of the page, thebobdavispodcast.com. Why pay more to print? And don't forget the manufacturer with the inventor's heart, Depot Star. American design, engineering, and manufacturing at Depot Star. Visit them online at depotstar.com. That's DEPOTSTAR, depotstar.com. Okay, next podcast, I'll be thanking people who've made contributions to the Bob Davis Podcasts. And thank you if you had more details coming up on that. Thanks for listening to Podcast 984, A Walk and Talk in Virginia, the Bob Davis Podcasts. Bye-bye.
With things like that, all you need is one person to say the wrong thing or do the wrong thing. And right away, a situation that could have been calm or was calm could explode into, you know, someone may happen to get hurt or be hurt for no other reason outside of lack of communication. This job is definitely a lot of judgment calls.
132 in Bush, I've got him at gunpoint.
Okay, gunpoint, 132 in Bush, covers code 3. Okay, we'll still send a code 3.
.132 in Bush. I've got him at gunpoint.